Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today Catholic singer-songwriter Audrey Assad will join me to discuss her album Evergreen, which grew out of a period of darkness in her life when she even questioned her faith. The songs on Evergreen are about Audrey's healing journey back toward God, love, and peace, and she'll share her music and insights with us today. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is singer-songwriter Audrey Assad. Audrey has been on this show several times, talking about her popular albums like The House You're Building and Fortunate Fall, albums that were inspired by her Catholic faith. But recently, Audrey went through a period when she felt no sense of God's presence at all and even questioned her faith. Eventually, she found herself being drawn back to God, thanks in part to the image of the Tree of Life. Audrey has now turned her struggles into an album called Evergreen, which shares songs about rebirth, joy, and love. Before I talk to Audrey, I want to share a clip from that album. Here is Audrey Assad with Wounded Healer.
Image of the invisible, in our pain we feel you near. God of heaven. By our wounds we shall be healed. Wounded healer, we give our hearts to you. Wounded healer, we give our hearts to you.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of Audrey Assad's song Wounded Healer off her album Evergreen. And now I'm pleased to welcome Audrey back to the show. Audrey, it's been great. It's been a while since I've talked to you, so it's great to have you back on.
Yeah, thank you. It has been a while.
Yeah, well, the last time we spoke, I looked it up, it was September of 2013 when Fortunate Fall came out. And at the time, you sounded like you were in a really good place spiritually speaking, but it seems like in the ensuing years, you went through a bit of a dark night of the soul. So just talk a little bit about what happened that led you into that dark period for a while.
Oh, man. Well, it was definitely a combination of things. But I think I know that one of the biggest catalysts for my kind of for everything getting stirred up, I guess, was the Syrian civil war that broke out about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had really long had a lot of those questions that a lot of us wrestle with, you know, simmering underneath the surface, such as why would a good God allow such evil to go on, you know, for many centuries?
Mm-hmm.
Like questions like, did God really order genocide in the Old Testament? I've always had those questions, but they just didn't really come up to the surface for me until, for some reason, when civil war broke out in Syria, which is my father's homeland. He's a Syrian refugee. Between the war and the kind of American Christian response to the war, mm-hmm. and to Syrians and to refugees and to the war itself, between all those things, I started to really examine my beliefs and particularly my ideas about the nature of God that I had been raised with from a very young age. And it just was a very sort of anxiety-inducing experience because I wasn't expecting that to happen mm-hmm. 4 years ago or whatever, but it did. And I'm glad it did because I had a lot of bad ideas that needed to be done away with.
So. Okay. Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit about that because I was reading in the press material for Evergreen that you still had these lingering effects of your fundamentalist upbringing. And I think you seem to address
right.
some of them in the song Deliverer. But how did you see God and how did your perception begin to change once you examined what you believed?
Yeah, well, I think my understanding of God was primarily in a sort of legal setting. So mm-hmm. I thought of God is the judge, Jesus is the lawyer, and I'm the person on the stand.
Okay.
And I can't measure up. And so thank goodness for Jesus who is saving me from God, because otherwise, you know, God wouldn't want anything to do with me because I'm this dirty rag of, you know, like no worth. And
wow.
I had a very kind of legal and just a a really sad idea of God, I think. Mm-hmm. That was kind of how I grew up thinking of it. And as I've moved away from that, I've started to see that there's a lot of room for thinking of salvation in very different ways than that.
Sure.
But that's how I grew up with it, and it was just still there for me, even 4 years ago.
Yeah. I'm talking to Audrey Assad about her album Evergreen and her recent struggles with faith and with God. And, I mean, based on what you just said, I mean, I'm thinking of the scripture verse about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. People often focus on the love your neighbor part, but forget about the loving yourself part. Was that a struggle for you to love yourself, you know, and believe that God loved you the way you were?
Absolutely. I used to scoff at that idea, you know, of self-love. But now I understand, Thomas Merton even says it somewhere in his journals, that by loving ourselves, we learn to love God. And I think it sounds so counterintuitive, but I think what it really means is to love what God made mm-hmm. and to love what God said was good, because that is actually the most humble thing you can do, is to accept what God says.
Yeah.
And if God says, you know, I love you, you're worthy of love, and I only make what is good, then to sort of sit in this attitude of self-loathing is actually proud. And it took me a long time to learn that.
Yeah.
It's been a really integral part of my journey as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm talking to you, and I'm reminded of my conversation with a friend of yours and your co-writer on one of your songs, Drawn to You, Matt Maher. And, you know, when he was talking about his album Echoes, we were discussing about how we echo our faith, and he was talking about how he echoes faith to his kids. Being that you're a mom mm-hmm. of two now, do you think that had any effect on how you approached your perception of God? Because you knew how you approached it would be how you kind of echoed it to your children?
Yeah, definitely. Particularly having my daughter, who is 4 months old, both of them have definitely changed me, but I know that with her, I just can't get away from seeing how precious she is. And even when she's, you know, waking me up all through the night, which she's still doing, I have these moments of just staring at her and thinking, like, but you're so wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
And it really does come to my mind and my heart that if God is love and God makes children out of love, you know, mm-hmm. and for love, then this is him. Like, I am actually experiencing the way that he loves, in a very flawed form, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like participating in something.
Yeah.
And experiencing something like that. So it's definitely a game changer to have babies, for sure.
Yes.
I'm in many ways.
I'm Tony Ross. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Audrey Assad about her album Evergreen. And let me just ask about the line in that title song, Evergreen. You write, out past the fear, doubt becomes wonder. So I'm curious, how do you see fear and doubt as being related? Because we don't always relate the two.
Well, I would say that for me, the way they're related is that my doubts, which are just a normal, healthy part of being a human being,
mm-hmm.
Caused a lot of fear, not because of the doubts themselves, but because of what I was taught to believe about what it takes to be a real Christian, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I also say this about when people ask me about my spiritual crisis. I'm like, well, the crisis isn't that I started doubting or wondering or questioning things. It's that I got so anxious and like terrified of people's opinions,
mm-hmm.
Of their perceptions of me. And that's what causes the crisis, you know?
Oh, yes.
So it's like
mm-hmm.
the doubt part only, I think it only inspires fear beyond like the, you know, the sort of fear we all have of like, are we really alone in this universe? We all kind of have that underneath somewhere, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I think all that fear just comes from, being a slave to like what people think of you and if they're going to welcome you anymore. And, you know, like, what do they say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you can move past that fear, and learn to kind of be on the journey and be present to what's happening, listen to your anxieties and say, like, what are you trying to tell me about? What is it that I'm so anxious about? And what is it that I want from God right now or need from God right now?
Mm-hmm.
You start to move past that fear. Then all of a sudden those doubts stop looking like monsters, and they start looking like magic. You know, it's like, I really feel like my questions about the universe have led me somewhere where I'm so much more open to who God really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge gift. So that's what I mean by that line.
Okay. Well, when you were going through that crisis, was there any people close to you in the Catholic world, the Christian world, who you could confide to about those doubts without fear of being judged? Was there someone to support and encourage and guide you through it?
You know, I'm definitely fortunate to have a few of those friends. It is rarer than I wish it was,
mm-hmm.
but there are a few people in my life that were really kind of safe and open and welcoming to me, no matter what I had to say. And not all of what I had to say was as neat sounding as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so,
sure.
Like, it is really good to have a place in your life where friends are willing to hear you out, even though it might sound, you know, whatever it is, heretical or blasphemous even. I mean, I remember there's a song on the record called Unfolding right in the middle, and it comes from this moment where I realized, like maybe a few years ago, I was like, wow, when I say Jesus Christ these days, I don't know if I'm praying or cussing. I really don't. I'm so knotted up, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still saying his name because somehow I'm just drawn to, like, this name. And I it was a real moment for me of kind of going, interesting, I'm just really hooked on this Jesus guy. But anyway, it's so valuable to have those people, and I'm thankful to have a few of them. I wish we all had them, but unfortunately, I think a lot of us do not.
No, I think it is really important for people to listen without judging, because I think the judgment probably would have pushed you in the other direction, as opposed to where you are now, which is creating this album that's really about the struggles, but also about rebirth and faith and joy. I'm talking to Audrey Assad. Her album is Evergreen. Her website is audreyassad.com. I want to touch on another song on here, because you write Teresa, which I'm thinking is about Mother Teresa and the struggles she
mm-hmm.
struggles of darkness she endured. How do you think the stories of saints experiencing dark nights of the soul can help the rest of us restore, you know, mm-hmm. move in our journey toward God?
Oh man, I have so many thoughts on this. I mean, the obvious thing is that it just makes us feel less alone, and anything that can take away that sense of isolation in a situation like this
mm-hmm.
is helpful, because isolation only drives the loneliness, which drives, you know, the fear of the exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just not fruitful. But I think even deeper than that, a question I've asked myself is, why does the church saint these people in retrospect and kind of act very differently towards the people today who are experiencing some of the same things?
Mm.
And I think Mother Teresa is such a good example of that, because if I was trying to imagine, you know, if I walked into my small group or wherever and said, hey guys, I haven't heard the voice of God in 5 years and, you know,
mm-hmm.
not even sure if he's there. I'm just kind of doing this thing because I keep thinking to myself, if I do it, maybe I'll find God again, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm going to, you know, like, it's like the people are not prepared for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a comfort to read the story of someone who's so beloved by people and so kind of known for her holiness and her goodness, and to realize that she was exactly like me in this way, that my struggle to feel certain of God, you know, because it's something we all want. I don't know that it's very possible, but it's something we all desire.
Mm-hmm.
That my struggle to feel certain of God, or to feel certain of, like, God's plan and his movements in the world, is not just mine. And
yeah.
I don't have to feel excluded, even if people exclude me. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Even if I do get cast out, I have these sort of companions on the road and people like her and people like Thomas Merton, who I love and read a lot of. Then I have friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lonely life sometimes, feeling like everyone else just thinks they think everything comes easily to them. And I don't know that that's true, but we can perceive it that way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
having these kind of friends in history can be absolutely just such a blessing on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that kind of ties into the song we heard at the beginning, Wounded Healer, because there's a common theme on the songs on Evergreen, and one of them is that when we weep, God weeps with us. When our heart breaks, God's heart breaks too. Why is that idea of God suffering along with us so important in your own faith journey now?
I think that I'm just not drawn to any God that is not willing to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is that my ideas about God were extremely sort of machismo growing up,
okay.
and misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but there's some famous pastors out there who make a living kind of pimping out this machismo God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very sad because it really does reflect our insecurity with what a lot of people would call the maternal characteristics of who God is,
mm-hmm.
such as nurturing, kind, gentle, tender. Now, we all know that men and women can both be these things.
Mm-hmm.
But in our culture, a lot of cultures are all sort of different in this area, but they have a lot of cultures have this idea that men are not those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just really drawn closer to the idea that God is all of the good things that people are,
yeah.
Men or women, you know, that
mm-hmm.
God transcends these boundaries that we set up for each other. Like, you can't be this way and you can't be this way and I can't be this way. And instead, you know, God is sort of an integration of the whole, and where all of those good things come from. And so if that's true, then I just cannot imagine being in relationship to a God who isn't those things, because he can be powerful and strong and all of these other beautiful virtues at once, which is what I think makes him God and me not God, you know. I'm just not drawn to any other kind of God
yeah.
anymore, because I don't know how I can be in a relationship with a God who's sort of divided against
yeah.
himself.
Yeah.
And so that lack of integration is something I just can't get behind, you know, a God who's like an MMA fighter rather than, you know,
yeah.
rather than the most benevolent presence that you could imagine being in.
Sure. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, he you know, retained his wounds. So, you know, that kind of
yeah.
goes back. So that alone is a sign.
Exactly. It shows us, if we believe that Jesus is the fullest revelation of who God is and who God has always been, then his wounded body is significant, because it means that they have a place in the heart of God, and they have always had a place in the heart of God, wounded, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be wounded, to be vulnerable, to be laid bare, and to be open to love with all of its pain and rejection, you know, with all the risks that it has. And so, yeah, it's very important to me to think of Christ as that full revelation of God, not just something that God, like, it's not a plan God came up with in response to the world going pot to pot or whatever, and
yeah.
now it's a course change or a course correction.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is who God has always been
yeah.
in the fullest form. And so I think it's very important to see that his wounded body is still there.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with Audrey Assad. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When it comes to what's going on in our personal relationships or the world around us, we often give in to the human tendencies to hear only what we want to hear, to make snap judgments, or to engage in wishful thinking. But God gave us the powers of intelligence, reason, and creativity so we can make up our minds after considering the whole truth. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly. It offers insights on thinking objectively before you act, taking a look at your own faults, learning from past mistakes, and more. To request your free copy of Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly, send an email to radio@christophers.org. Or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking with singer-songwriter Audrey Assad about her album Evergreen. Before we get back to our conversation, I want to share another clip from that album. Here is Audrey Assad with Joy of the Lord.
Fire.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Audrey Assad. Her album is Evergreen, and her website is audreyassad.com. Going back to the Mother Teresa link, you know, you have another song called "Little Things with Great Love," and I just found it especially relevant because, you know, we live in a world where we can forget all the small acts of goodness and holiness that people engage in every day and that keep this whole shebang from falling apart. So I'm curious, how do you think that song can reignite people's hope and joy? Because it really is a song, a hopeful song.
Yeah, Mother Teresa is just like creeping into all these songs. She, I do really love her. And yeah, that song I wrote with my friend Isaac Wardell and then with Madison Cunningham, who kind of came in later and changed some of the chords and added this beautiful bridge to it. I think we were really trying to express that we were particularly thinking that day about the work of our hands in like the sense of small V vocation, mm-hmm. and how, you know, everybody from like your plumber to your pastor has a God-given call to be who they are, mm-hmm. and to do what they're doing. And that for me, like particularly as a mother who is at home a lot right now, just doing very invisible things all day, that I have to take refuge in the fact or in the idea that me, you know, sucking the snot out of my daughter's nose is ministry, because a lot of us are living in a reality where we don't feel like the things we're doing lend us any significance whatsoever in the eyes of other people or in our own eyes. And I think the beauty of like being fearfully and wonderfully made by God is that all of our actions done out of love are fragrance, mm-hmm. to God. And that means anything, like I said, from, you know, bodily fluids of your children to giving a glass of water to a stranger to going to prison and ministering to prisoners. Those things are all sort of heavily weighted in the kingdom of God, I think.
Yeah.
And that's what we were thinking about when we wrote about it.
No, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, the way you just described everything, it's the little things that we do in our lives that often get overlooked. So, no, I think it's a beautiful insight, and it's just one of those great Mother Teresa lines, too, about do little things with great love. I'm talking to Audrey Assad. Her album is Evergreen. Now, the last song on the album you wrote with Matt Maher, it's called Drawn to You. And I'm curious, how do you think that song kind of sums up the message of this entire album?
Well, it really expresses what is the only reality that I can kind of attest to with full voice right now, which is that after everything that I have lost in my journey away from fundamentalism, after everything I lost in my experience with fundamentalism, you know, after my experiences with watching the Civil War in Syria break out, after, you know, going to trauma therapy for being abused as a teenager, all of these things, for whatever reason, underneath all of them, there lies this kind of undergirding of feeling drawn to who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, writing that and coming to that place was sort of the moment, I think, where my anxieties gave way, because I realized I don't have to know anything else today. This mm-hmm. is all that I know, and that's enough.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think that, because at the Christophers, we're all about this idea of lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. But when you went through those times of darkness, did you even conceive of that a candle could be lit at the time? Or did you just have to make your way through the darkness until you saw light again?
Yeah, I think there was definitely a time there where I didn't feel like there was any light at all. I definitely went through a part of this journey where I really truly questioned like meaning itself. Mm-hmm. And that can be a very dark place, and anyone who's been there knows that it can be. When you're not sure if anything means anything, it's hard to feel hopeful, because mm-hmm. what are you even hoping in?
Mm-hmm.
What does hope even mean? You know, and I mean, and some of people laugh at that, like they've never experienced it. Maybe they haven't, and maybe not everyone will, but a lot of us do. And that was a very dark time for me, but it took me walking through that and just sort of stumbling forward to come to a place where I did feel hope again. There was a little light in the room. And, you know, it's funny. I wrote a song many years ago, or quite a few years ago now, on my second record, Heart, that I think are prophetic about the time I'm in right now.
Hmm.
And there's one in particular called Slow. And if any of my listeners out there remember this song, It was the only song on the record I think I wrote entirely by myself. So it came straight from my own, you know, experience and my own ideas. And it said, faith is not a fire as much as it's a glow, a steady, humble lamplight in the window.
Mm.
And it's not too much. It's just enough to get me home because love moves slow.
Wow.
And I've looked back at that song now and thought, man, I didn't even know why I needed that. And now I do.
No, that's a beautiful lyric. And I think, you know, your struggles essentially led to this album, which is an album of hope and joy and rebirth, like I said before. But just in our final 30 seconds, like, what do you hope listeners leave this album with after they've listened to it?
I hope that they feel that I have helped them make space to have compassion on whatever it is they're struggling with,
mm-hmm.
especially doubt. Because I really believe those compassionate spaces we make for ourselves are what actually enable us to move forward.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're so concerned with squashing that we actually end up expanding their power over us. When we can make room
mm-hmm.
and let those things float above us or around us, in front of us or whatever, and look at them with compassion, then we actually start to find the things we're looking for. And I really believe that is the way to freedom.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Audrey Assad about her album Evergreen. We opened the show with a clip of a song called Wounded Healer. And I think in making this album, Audrey is a wounded healer of her own by sharing her wounds so openly. She's likely going to bring a lot of healing to a lot of people who've experienced similar dark times. So check out Evergreen. Website is audreyassad.com. And Audrey, thanks for making the music and for sharing so much of your story with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me today, Tony.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.